Good morning. This is Sherry Kennedy with Easy Knowing. For whatever reason, the sound didn't come through whenever we started the show at 10, as we usually do. So I humbly apologize, and I hope that you can give me a call, 773-897-6227. If nothing else, let me know that you're able to hear the show now. Since everything that I had said for the first 15 minutes didn't get to go out, I'm going to actually start over. So anyway, what I wanted to talk about today is talking about our belief systems, about ego and spirit and our head brain and our heart brain and how all of this is connected. I've told you before that you're not going to be able to sit down, put your hand on your chin and say, what are my false beliefs, and expect to know what they are. It doesn't happen that way. If you can imagine, visualize your belief systems as this big, beautiful forest, most of the beliefs you hold, most of the trees in this forest are absolutely magnificent. They're beautiful. They're healthy. They're strong. They've got a great root system. They're working for you. They are who you are and what is right for you. But there are some trees in our forest that are old and gnarly and rotted and need to be removed, that are, some of them are pretty big, and they're actually overshadowing other beliefs. So whenever you get a button pushed, it's kind of, it's like your spirit is taking you and standing you right in front of the false belief or the tree in your forest that needs to be removed. And you may have to look to the left and the right, or even turn around to see it, but I guarantee you're going to be standing in front of this false belief that you need to become aware of. When you do become aware of the false belief, and again, it's not some big, deep, dark, hidden secret. This is something that everybody is on your side wanting you to discover and find. The universe, creator, your spirit, your heart, everything wants you to become who you truly are. And what keeps you from being who you truly are is the beliefs that you hold that are poisoning your perspective about yourself. If you're a beautiful, radiant, rare, and precious cosmic miracle, if you are the only one of you there is, which we know that to be true, then how can you compare yourself to anyone or anything and expect that to be true as well? We are all different, but we are all one. So when you are looking at the false belief, once you recognize that it's a false belief, and you always will, once you open to having that information and to perceive it from that perspective. When you ask to be shown a false belief, or you ask to know if what you are responding to or reacting to is a false belief, you will get an answer. You will get the information that you need, because always spirit is on our side. And if we miss it one time, we'll get it another time. There's always going to be another opportunity for you to get the lessons that you chose to come here to learn. And the thing about false beliefs is that they're always created in the physical. And if we die holding a false belief, the minute we go into spirit, we know it's a false belief. But we cannot change in spirit what was created in the physical. So that false belief then becomes a lesson that we choose to learn or unlearn in the next incarnation, in our next life. And we choose our parents. We make soul agreements with all of the people that we will be encountering that will assist us on our path. You know, and it's not a one-way street. As people make soul agreements with us, we're making soul agreements with them. And it's not a tit for tat. You know, one thing may not have anything to do with the other, but it is still an agreement between the two souls to assist each other in evolving. And evolving is a lot of remembering who we actually are instead of who we've been taught to believe that we're not. Again, the higher the powers that be do not want us in our heart. They do not want us out of fear, because fear is the food source that they feed off of. And the whole objective is to keep us in fear, to keep us in that state of survival, that feeling constantly being threatened, whether it's personal, whether it's social, whether it's global. Fear is the predominant emotion that is acceptable in this world. And this is something that you have to be able to recognize before you can change it. If you try and just ignore that it's there, it's not going to go away. It's just going to sit back and wait its time. It will still be there, and it will make itself known at some of the most inopportune and unfavorable times. So whatever the fear is, you have to acknowledge it to yourself. You know, and it's just simply saying, you know, I feel fear. Allow your body to feel it and let it go. And if you don't know what it is, that's okay. What created the fear isn't as important as acknowledging that there is fear and letting it go. If you need to know why it got what created it, it will come to you. It will reveal itself to you. The key, the bottom line to all of this is stop judging. Stop comparing. Stop making everything good or bad or right or wrong. Shift the crystal to see it as it just is. It's your judgment of it that makes it good or bad or right or wrong. Step out of judgment. Step into the truth of what is and see what happens. We are so tangled up in the conditioning and programming that we don't really even know how tangled up we actually are. It's in our language. It's in our verbalization, the way that we talk to each other. It's in so many unspoken messages. It is so subliminal in so many ways. So be conscious of what you can, and as you become more and more conscious, more and more will come to you. One of the things that I highly recommend is to stop saying the word sorry. Go to the dictionary, look up what the word sorry means, and it says a worthless, no good person. And then it says, and it's also used as a form of apology. Well, you know, what kind of sense does that make? From that definition of alone, every time you say, I'm sorry, you're saying, I'm a worthless, no good human. I am not worthy. I am less than. Which just in that one phrase, solidify, we make more permanent the false beliefs that we're not good enough, that we're less than, and we're not even saying those words in a conscious way. We say, I'm sorry for everything. I'm sorry somebody passed away. I'm sorry that I got in your way. I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings. Why are you sorry? Based on the true definition of the word, why are you sorry? You can apologize. You can offer your condolences. You can say oops. There are a lot of different words and phrases and expressions that you can substitute for the word sorry. And I highly recommend that you do so. I will share with you that there, you know, in my process of eliminating that word, there are actually people who get upset because you don't say you're sorry. Well, you never say you're sorry. No, I don't, but I do apologize. I do take responsibility for my actions, my choices, my thoughts, and my feelings. But I'm not sorry, and nobody else is either. So this is one of those words, and the combination of its use in our language that really needs to be recognized. and, you know, do everything that you can to actually change it. That is the most important thing. So stop judging. Pay attention to what you're saying, how you're using your words. So now that we're back on the air, give me a call, 773-897-6227. I would really love to hear from you, to hear if you are using the tools that I've been sharing, for you to share your story. And I would also suggest that you go to my website at easyknowing.com. Listen to the meditation. Go in and create your center, your sacred space. This is something that we all have. Some people will feel that they discover it. Some people feel that they create it. Either, it doesn't matter. As long as you manifest it for your use and you use it. It is a wonderful place to help you become more consciously aware. All righty. Some of the things, I wanted to add one more aspect to the tools and the information that I've been sharing with you over the last few weeks, and that is about our chakra system. Everybody has heard of chakras, but almost nobody knows what they are, what to do with them, and what that means. And we just got a call, so before I get into that, let's talk. Good morning.
Well, hi, hello. Sherry. It's Cheryl. Hello.
Hi. How are you, sweetie? It is so good to hear from you.
I was frustrated when I couldn't hear you. But I hung on believing that it wasn't just me and or my computer, and there you were finally. So I'm glad that you're there.
Oh, thank you. Me too. It was so strange. I'm sitting here just sharing all of my words and thoughts, and Stacy, my daughter, calls and goes, "Mom, you're not on the air." So thank you for letting me know that it's working again.
It is. And I thought I would share something that just recently happened, and an additional aha that I had, and I would like to hear your continued expansion of that. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Last week and for most of the time, you've really showed us about how if we don't release the charge, then we'll, you know, it'll play out in our body or behavior or something. And so this week, I started a new job as a nanny, a very great family, and by Friday morning, I was having a pretty good earache, and I thought, okay, what did you not want to hear? And so I traced back to where, you know, I thought it was, you know, as far as the situation, but that was it. I just kind of stopped there. And, of course, the earache continued. And then finally I said, okay. And I could feel the resistance, you know, to not wanting to admit to a fear or anger because the conditioning and programming, which you were just talking about, was, you know, telling me, no, you have to like it, you know, it'll be okay. I mean, in other words, I was kind of trying to get to the solution or tell myself, but I wasn't acknowledging the feeling. So finally I said, well, I don't really know what I feel. So I did what you said, and I just, you know, said, are you angry? Yeah, I'm angry. Well, are you fearful? Yeah, fearful. And so I just, you know, I felt some of the charge release, and I thought, okay, good, we got it. But the earache continued, and then I said, okay, you didn't get it. And very quickly, because I had at least opened the door, I felt that then it allowed me to hear, you know, what the real source of it was. I have a tendency to get angry and fearful when I think something is spoiling my ideal world. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, it's like messing with my picture. It's messing mm-hmm. with what I want it to be. And what happened was this time, not only was I able to go, oh, yeah, there it is, you know, and I cried and then I started laughing because it's been a recurring theme. And I knew that when I started laughing, I knew the shift was happening.
Yeah.
And so what also happened, and I know this has happened before, but I don't think I've been conscious of it, so this is what I wanted to share, was that then I was able to start coming at solutions.
Yes.
And also, and I'll just briefly say that it was over the fact that I'm going to be doing some laundry for this family, and I've never done that before, and it was putting me in contact with substances, fragrances that are very bothersome to me. And so I was angry, you know, I was feeling anger that I had to be subjected to this, and then fearful that, well, what am I going to do? I don't want this for my body, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so it was both. And what I finally, so when I was opening up to, okay, you know, you don't like that this one task is going to spoil your wonderful, you know, new family relationship. And I said, well, wait a minute. Now that the charge was off, I said, the daughter is highly allergic to pineapple and oats. So they're very cautious and careful that she doesn't eat that. So why is it any different that my aversion to fragrances and stuff that gets put in detergents and Bounce and all these kinds of things, why is that a shame on me, which is how I've always viewed that in me. Like, that's wrong because everybody else, it doesn't bother anybody else but me. And I could feel emotion about this just even sharing it. So I could tell that that's been a belief that I, that other people's allergies, well, that's all accepted because somehow it's accepted on food or this or that. But when it comes to chemicals, people can tend to poo-poo it. And
exactly.
And then I have accepted that something's wrong with me. And that's not true. And
exactly.
So I use a mask when I go to physical therapy because they're in a brand new building and I absolutely know I'm not going to subject my body to all of that. And I just said, oh, well, then I'm going to wear a mask when I'm doing their laundry.
Perfect.
And if that's a problem for anyone, talk to me about it. But I'm going to take care of me. And it was so empowering. And I'm sure that in the past, once I've released the charge, that I have come with solutions. But it was more, I was more aware of it this time. So I just wanted to, you know, hear your thoughts about that.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that, because that's exactly the process in action. And whenever I've talked about, you know, getting out of the charge, as long as you are in the charge, you cannot come to the end, to the understanding of what triggered it. And if you don't know what triggered it, you can't find the solutions to correct it. So that is one of the reasons why acknowledging what you feel, allowing your body to feel it, and letting it be okay to feel it is so important, because that will get you back into your truth. And like you experienced, once you were out of the charge and back in your truth about what was going on, then solutions started coming to you because you knew what the problem was. You didn't spend all of your time beating yourself up because you were different, because you had this issue that the others don't have. You acknowledged, allowed, and accepted what the emotions were that you were feeling. That released the excess adrenaline in your body. That brought you back into balance. And that act allowed the clarity for you to understand what was going on. Thank you so much. This has just been a beautiful sharing of what I'm talking about.
Well, I kind of thought it was synchronistic too as it was happening. I thought, oh my, this is what you've been sharing, and I would also say to everyone listening that you have taught me a lot over the years, and I have found your show to be such a confirmation. I mean, one would think, oh, I've already heard this. Believe me, as much as I've heard it, I hear it differently every single time. And I just want to thank you for putting out there what it is that you know. I love the name Easy Knowing, because it is easy if we're willing to put the knowingness into practice. That's what makes it easy. So big gold stars to you, Miss Sherry, and thank you for doing what you do and for being who you are. I love you.
Oh, I love you too. Thank you so much for calling and sharing with us. It matters.
You bet. You bet.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That was amazing, Cheryl, because that just really put it, you know, wrapped everything up in action. It's hard sometimes for me to sit here and come up with all of the analogies and the ways to share the principles and the foundation of what I'm talking about. And the one thing that I do find myself saying over and over it, when I'm talking to my students, is that it takes me a minimum of 10 times longer to tell you how to use the tool than it does to actually do it. You know, you're going to do it maybe in a minute the first time, and then it's going to be 45 seconds, then it's going to be 30 seconds. The more you do it, the more you are creating that pathway to use. It's nothing kind of like building a new road to get from here to there. You're just doing it in a different way. And that is just so very, very important. One of the things I like to do before I go into talking about the chakras is to ask you to make a wish list. And it's equivalent to a bucket list. What are the things that you have wished or wanted and dreamed of doing in your life? Write them down on a piece of paper. And there doesn't have to be a lot, or it can be pages. That's up to you. But make yourself a wish list of all of the things that you want to experience, that you want to accomplish, that you want to manifest in your life this time around. And then whenever you start thinking about all of the things that you can't do, all of the things that you're not, all of the things that the obstacles and the challenges in your way, go and look at your list. You can do anything that you feed. Where is you putting your energy? What are you focusing on? And the whole point to this list is to give you something from within you that you desire yourself to replace the habit of the old ways. Give it a try, see what happens. And then I'd love to hear from you and see what kind of experiences or what kind of awareness that you created as a result of that. Give me a call, 773-897-6227. Again, that's 773-897-6227. So I wanted to talk about our chakras. The chakras are one of the most important aspects of our beingness, and yet one of the most, I wouldn't say misunderstood, just not understood at all. From my perspective, the chakras are kind of like the buttons that connect the spirit and the physical body together. And we all came in, and for eons, there were seven primary chakras. The first three were of the physical realm. The last three were of the spiritual realm, and the heart was the bridge between the two. And each of the chakras has physical properties that function, that affect the physical body, and it has the spiritual properties that affect the spiritual, emotional, mental bodies as well. The chakras are a vibration. They hold, each chakra holds a vibration, just like it resonates with the different colors. For example, the color red has a wavelength of 7,700. And the wavelength, the vibration that the color red carries is, if there is damage to it, let me rephrase that. The wavelength that the chakras carry are, they fluctuate. They're fluid. They move. They're living. They're very real in that sense. And if there is any damage to them, then they can lose the vibration that is right for that specific chakra. And this is where using stones and colors that keep a vibration. Now, the chakra has its own vibration, and the color, has its own energies, and the color maintains the vibration of that chakra. So let me give you an example. The first chakra is the root chakra. This chakra is located at the perineum, right at the base of the spine. The color of it is red. The physical aspects of the root chakra are the adrenal glands, the lower digestive tract. It controls all solid parts of the body, which includes the spinal column, bones, teeth, nails. It also controls the anus, the rectum, the colon, the prostate gland, blood, and the building of cells. All of these physical properties are controlled by the first chakra. So if you have issues, physical issues or abnormalities in any part of your body or in any part of the body that is affected by the first chakra, that is where you want to look to see what's going on. The functions and the qualities of the first chakra are about your full acceptance of life on earth, your survival, your power to achieve your goals. It represents vitality, presence, confidence, grounding, satisfaction, material security, stability, stillness, courage, and primal trust. So all of our right to be here is a first chakra issue. Any time that you have teeth problems or you damage a nail or you are affected in the solid parts of your body, these are all going to be related to the issues in the first chakra. As long as all of these areas are functioning and are healthy and are normal, your chakras are working perfectly. And there is that balance in that first chakra. So the chakras are, they're attached to the body through the light tube, kind of like the stem on a plant. Each chakra is shaped, it has a cone shape, and it draws, when it's spinning clockwise, it's drawing the energy in from the universal energy field into your body. You have a front chakra and you have a back chakra. The front chakra is your feeling center. This is where all of the emotions and the feelings occur. The back chakra is the will center. This is the will to be present, to have satisfaction. If you don't want it, you're not going to achieve it. So this is the will center. The root chakra and the crown chakra are connected. Just as the first and the first, second, and third chakras rule the physical realm, the heart being the bridge, and the next chakras are of the spiritual realm. Well, as I was saying, we started out with seven chakras, and this has been the pattern, the core, the foundation, up until this last life, which we're experiencing now. This is the last life in the third dimension. And we have had chakras added and or actually opened and activated since the 2012 episode, whenever the energies came in and shifted. We started having more and more energy coming into our bodies. And since the chakras are the ones who assimilate and distribute the energies that we're bringing into our bodies, this is part of the rewiring and the evolution of our humanity. And as a result, our physical bodies are becoming less dense. So if you imagine that your chakra is like a cone, and if it's spinning clockwise, it's drawing energy in to your body. If it's spinning counterclockwise, then what it's doing is that it's spewing out all of your fears and doubts and angers and negativities out into the universal energy field as well. And I know everybody has seen the universal energy field. You just probably didn't know what it was. So the next time you get an opportunity, go outside and just pick a spot in front of you and just start staring. And as you just stare at that spot, you're going to notice a bunch of little light, sparkly spots just dancing around in front of you. All of that is the pure energy from the universal energy field. So when our chakras are open and functioning, we're able to draw this energy in. This feeds us. It feeds us spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. It feeds us on every level because it's giving, it's distributing this energy, this light energy throughout our being. So the chakras are extremely important in being able to assimilate and distribute this energy where we need it in our bodies. And keeping your light tube functioning and your chakras functioning is really important to how you feel physically. Have you ever just been feeling great and then all of a sudden you just felt like somebody let the air out of your balloon? In a very real sense, they kind of did, because usually something like that means that your light tube crashed or there was damage to your chakra in some way. Again, being aware of this, you can ask your guardian angels, you can ask Creator, you can ask a friend, a healer, anyone to assist you, to check, to see if your chakras are functioning, and if they're not, to replace them, to repair them, to do whatever is necessary to get you functioning at your highest and most optimum level. So again, going back to the first chakra, each chakra has an element, a kingdom, a gift, and a power. It is an emotion that it is blocked by. It also has a stone that vibrates with at the same resonance that chakra does. So that again, any time that the chakra is damaged or not functioning fully, you can utilize the stones to help remind the chakra of its natural, normal vibration. So the first chakra, of course, the color is red. The tone is C. The sense is smell. The stone is bloodstone and hematite. The element of earth, it's of the mineral kingdom. It is the gift of intuition. It is the power of I have, and it is blocked by fear. So just on your first chakra alone, not taking into consideration any of the other chakras and what their functions and qualities and effects in the physical body are, just having your first chakra damaged or not functioning fully, you can see how it can create some pretty uncomfortable experiences in your body. Now, the second chakra, this is the sacral chakra. This is the social world and your relationships. And it's located about an inch below your navel. It's the color of orange. The tone is D. The taste is its sense. Carnelian and moonstone are the stones. It is of the element of water, the plant kingdom. The gift is clairsentience. The power is I feel, and it is blocked by guilt. On the physical level, it affects the reproductive organs and the sexual glands. It controls the pelvic area, potency, fluid functions, and the kidney and the bladder. Now, the functions and the qualities of the second chakra are your sexuality, sensuality, intimacy, desire, pleasure, awe, enthusiasm, procreation, relationships, union with nature, openness to others, personal creativity, and primal feelings. Your third chakra. The color of the third chakra is yellow, and it's located at the solar plexus, which is just below your rib bone. At the top of your stomach area, where that little soft spot is, right there where the bones start. The tone for the third chakra is E. Its sense is sight. The stones of its vibration are tiger eye and citrine. It is of the element of fire. Of the animal kingdom, its gift is tuition. The power is I can. And the emotion it is blocked by is shame. In the physical body, it rules the pancreas, the upper digestive tract. It controls the liver, the digestive system, the stomach, the spleen, the gallbladder, the autonomic nervous system, your lower back and muscles. The functions and qualities of the third chakra are your personal power, your social identity, your self-image, influence, accomplishment, self-control, authority, energy, will, peace, radiance, joy, inner harmony, strength, action, vitality, self-acceptance. It is the distribution point for the psychic energies, and it also known as the belly brain. Your first three chakras are extremely powerful and very, very neglected. Most of the time, we're functioning, but with all of the earth changes, with all of the physical changes that are happening not only to our world, to our societies, they're also happening internally to our bodies, to our thoughts, our feelings. We are evolving. The earth is evolving. And we have to resonate and vibrate in harmony with the earth to be able to maintain our presence on it. And the earth has said, hey, I'm done. I am vibrating higher. I am evolving. You can come with me if you want. And it's a choice if you don't. So it's really important just to think about what the chakras do. Are these the areas that I've mentioned, any areas to where you are out of balance in your life, where you are having issues with your personal power? Is your solar plexus, is your third chakra open? Is it functioning? Is it spinning big and bright? And just to give you a perspective on how large your chakras are, if you put the base of your hand up next to your body, as far out as to the end of the third finger, the longest finger, And then if you put touch, that's how far out from the body it is. How wide it is if you go, if you put, you touch the third finger on each hand together and where it bends at the wrist, that is the width of your chakras. And as the chakras are spinning in a clockwise manner with all of the others, there are going to be an overlapping of the energies and of the fluidity and the motion of the chakras and how the energy is being distributed. This creates your auric field. This creates the sphere around us. This is different from our life force field. And then, of course, the heart is the bridge. And the heart is the center of love. Of course, it's located right in the center of our chest. Its color is green. The tone is F. Its sense is touch. It vibrates with rose quartz and moldavite. It's of the element of air and the kingdom of human. The gift is empathy. The power is I love. And it is blocked by grief. So on the physical level, the fourth chakra affects the heart, the circulatory system. It controls the lower lungs, the rib cage, your skin, your hands, your upper back, and your heart. And the functions and qualities of the fourth chakra are forgiveness, acceptance, compassion, harmony, understanding, transformation, warmth, sincerity, and surrender. Now, we now have newly opened in humanity the high heart. And the high heart is located between the throat chakra and the heart chakra, right in the center, between the heart and the throat. This is the chakra of compassion and peace. This is the chakra that opened, that allowed us to recognize and know that we are all connected. The tone of this, of the fifth one, because it's the high heart, is also F. It's the sense of touch. The stones for the high heart are aquamarine and turquoise. It is also of the element of air, the gift of human, the kingdom of human. The gift is telepathy. The power is I love, and it is blocked by judgment. The high heart rules the thymus gland and the immune system. And its functions is universal, unconditional love, brotherhood, peacefulness, and connectedness to all life. And you kind of easy to see why we needed to have this chakra opened in all of humanity for where we're going. It gives us the awareness, the energy, the understanding to experience us without judgment, to experience us as a family, as one. We're all different, but we're all connected. Now, the sixth chakra is located at the throat. This is the chakra of communication. The color of blue. The tone is G. The sense is sound, meaning truth. The stone that it vibrates with is lapis and blue lace agate. It's of the ethereal element, the kingdom of the angels. Its gift is clairaudience. And the power is I speak, I listen. And it is blocked by lies and untruths. The physical qualities of the throat chakra are the thyroid gland, the throat, the ears. It controls the jaw, the neck, the throat, the voice, the airways, your upper lungs, the nape of your neck, and your arms. And it's all about communication, spontaneity, speaking and hearing the truth, creative self-expression, inspiration, confidence, integrity, wisdom, freedom, independence, and access to subtler levels of being. So you can again see how very, very important it is for our chakras to be in balance. I'm being notified that it's time to say goodbye. I would love to have you join me next week, and we will review the chakras, and I will complete the rest of the description and explanation of them and give you a lot more information about how to use them and what to do with this knowledge and awareness. I do apologize for the audio glitch, and I hope you will join me next week. And until then, follow your heart's song and paint the world with the colors of your soul. Bye-bye.